God is good. He is really good. Amen. 19th chapter of Luke. You know, one thing I know about the precious Spirit of God, when He fills you, He'll put a smile on your face. This is a really beautiful story this morning. It's the story of Zacchaeus. And I don't know why, but this is the first time that I have ever preached out of this chapter. I wonder why it's taken me 16 years to get here. But it is the most beautiful story. It takes place in the first century Palm Springs. The place is called Jericho. Jericho was not a hideaway, but it was a gathering place for the rich and famous in the first century. Herod the Great had a couple of winter homes in Jericho. The wealthy lived there. It was like a gateway from the east into Jerusalem, where all of the trade routes went through. It was actually northeast of Jerusalem, and just a very, very prosperous city. And this morning, the man that we will look at is a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And if you know anything about the first century culture, you know that tax collectors were considered to be traitors by the Jewish people. And the reason why they were considered traitors was because of this. The Romans were the occupiers. They were in control of Jerusalem and all of Judea, the northern kingdom. They were in control of that area of the world. And what they would do is this. The Romans would enter into contractual arrangements with people, locals of that area. And the arrangement would go something like this. They would enter a relationship, an arrangement to collect taxes. Let's suppose that Zacchaeus, who is a chief tax collector, was entered into a contract, say, to collect $500,000 in taxes. What he would do is he would owe Caesar that much money. It was up to Zacchaeus however he collected it. He could collect it any way he wanted to. For example, take a room of 150 people. Zacchaeus could say to the person on the back row, your share is $10,000. He could say to this person, your share is $100. He could say, your share is 10 times what this other person's is. He could do whatever he wanted to. And the people had to pay the taxes. So what happened was that the people saw the tax collectors as traitors because they had entered into these contractual agreements with the Romans. All of the tax collectors were wealthy. Now, Zacchaeus, the text is going to tell us, is a chief tax collector. That means that Zacchaeus not only had that area of the world as his assigned geographic area, he had other tax collectors who reported to him in sort of a pyramid approach. And so as they collected their taxes in any way they wanted to, Zacchaeus got a cut from them. He required them to pay him a certain amount of money. And so literally there was a pyramiding of wealth. In Jericho, because that is such a wealthy place, because the rich were there, this certainly was, if there was ever a place that a tax collector would want to be, it would be in Jericho. You got the picture? Here's the rest of the story. It's Passover. The reason why we know that is because in the very next chapter, Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for Passover week. So if it's Passover, what does it tell us about the numbers of people on the highway going from Jericho up to Jerusalem? What would it say to us about the people? Lots of them. The roads would have been filled with people. Now, the last part of the context is this. Just before Jesus enters Jericho, he's walking along the street, the road rather, with his disciples and with the crowd that is gathered. The 18th chapter of Luke reports this story. There is a blind man. He's seated on the side of the road as the throngs are going to Passover to worship God. And Christ Jesus is walking the road. Bartimaeus is the blind man. The Bible tells us it goes like this. Bartimaeus asked somebody, "Who's coming by? Why all the commotion?" And the person says, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." What do you think blind Bartimaeus begins to do? He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What would you think all the people walking with Jesus would do? What do you think they would do? Got a blind man on the side of the road. Jesus is coming to Jericho. He's the one who can heal the blind. He's the one who makes the lame walk. What do you think the church people would do? Take him. Come on, blind Bartimaeus, let's go see Jesus. What do you think the church people do? Shut up. They use those words. Shut up, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus will have nothing to do of being shut up because Bartimaeus wants to be healed. He wants his life changed. And so Bartimaeus cries out all the more, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd yells all the more, "Shut up, Bartimaeus, shut up, shut up, shut up." Can you believe those church people? What's wrong with those church people? What's wrong with those church people? You mean the gospel is supposed to intersect in my heart? You mean I'm supposed to be different, preacher? You mean you want me to take my eyes off of my poor little self and see someone else hurting, preacher? You mean you want me to talk, you want to talk about my sin, preacher? I mean, you want gays and lesbians? Separation church. Preacher. You want me to think about my sin, preacher? You know what? It's time for dead bones to come alive, isn't it? It's time for the dead to come to life. You see, it's something wrong. Something wrong when we see the church as a place where we come to be entertained, a place where we come just to sit and watch, and then we go back home and it's just everything is normal. There's something wrong with the church when our culture defines who we are, what we're supposed to believe, and what we're supposed to do. You know, last week was a really hard sermon. Didn't you think it was a hard sermon? It's a hard sermon for me to preach. It's a hard sermon for you to hear. But you know something about hard sermons I've noticed? You either love them or you hate them. There ain't nothing in between. Now, if you loved that sermon last week, God's got another one for you this morning. But if you hated it, you're in this text. Now I'm going to let you find yourself. Because I know the Holy Spirit wants to help you do that. Okay? If you hated it, made you mad, you got to find yourself in this text. Let's do it this way. Mark your spiritual life in two places. Go back 2 months. Put a mark on a graph line as to where you were 2 months ago relative to your relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 months passed. Put a mark on a graph line. Okay? 2 months passed. Now, where you are right now? Are you here and you're going closer to Jesus Christ today? Or are you flatlined? Or are you down? Where are you on your spiritual graph line? Because see, I'll just tell you something. Here, you know what my responsibility is? My responsibility is I am simply a voice of God to help you to find where you are on that line. And then to somehow help you to see that God didn't want you flatlining. And God doesn't want you falling down here either. He wants you up here. And here's one way you can know where you are on that graph line. How did you respond to last Sunday's sermon? Because last Sunday's sermon revealed sin. And you know what you're going to see with Zacchaeus? After Jesus gets finished with him, you know what he does? He's talking about his sin. When the Spirit of God is moving in your life, sin, you will want to bring it to the surface. You won't be looking at somebody else's sin. You won't be looking at your wife's sin. You won't be looking at your husband's sin. You're going to be looking at you, yourself, and I, and you're going to say, God, I am a sinner. You know what happens in the passage immediately before this one? Oh, boy. It's the story of the Pharisee and the publican. It's another tax collector. Here's what happens. There's a Pharisee who's, remember, they're the really righteous guys in the first century. He comes into the temple, and a tax collector comes into the temple also. And here's what the Pharisee says. He sees a tax collector over on the side. He says, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm not like that guy. I tithe. I come to church Wednesday night, Sunday. I even come to Lifeline. You know, Lord, I thank you. I am not like that guy over there. You know what the tax collector says? Yeah, no, it's just a Pharisee. He says, God, I'm a sinner. Will you have mercy on my soul? Why last Sunday's sermon so important? Were you the Pharisee? Or were you the tax collector? Because if we can all become tax collectors, this church will come on fire for Jesus Christ. Because a tax collector represents someone who is brokenhearted before God, who knows they have absolutely nothing. Nothing to bring to Jesus, and what they receive from Him is forgiveness and grace by His holy, precious person. Look at verse 1. Zacchaeus. Verse 1, and he entered and was passing through Jericho. What that means is Bartimaeus has just been healed, okay? He has just been healed. And what happens is now Jesus, along with Bartimaeus and his disciples, are coming through Jericho going to Jerusalem. So Jesus is passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. You know, the text doesn't say anything else does about Zacchaeus. It says, he's a tax gatherer. This man, he's rich. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes you can say so much with just a few words. He's rich. Everybody knows he's rich. He's rich. It's a rich man. If there's ever a man that we would think would not be close to Jesus, it'd be Zacchaeus. He's a traitor. He doesn't step foot in the church, and he's a rich man. He sits around all day long. He counts his money. How in the world could he be close to God? You know, if you're wondering if you ever are outside of the reach of God, you just come to Zacchaeus. You come to the 19th chapter of Luke and you see the man Zacchaeus and you see what Jesus will do to a Zacchaeus. And that ought to show you that there is no one outside of the reach of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. I love this. This is so good. He was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd. He was small in stature. He's a short man. Zacchaeus is just a little short fat man. That's what Zacchaeus is, a little short guy. And he can't get over the crowd to see Jesus. The crowd's lining the streets. This is Jericho. You know, everybody's, they're all on the, nobody's going to let Zacchaeus nudge in either. He's a tax collector. You're not going to let him break in line. But you know, I don't get something in verse 3. It says he was trying to see who Jesus was. Well, who told him? He's a tax collector. Who told him? It's too soon for him to have heard of Bartimaeus. Who told Zacchaeus about Jesus? You see, this is how it works, guys. Zacchaeus has exactly the same choice and decision to make that day that he woke up that you and I do. Every single one of us has the exact same choice. Someone said something to him about Jesus Christ. They said something to him about a man who can make the blind see, who can make the lame walk, who changed hearts, who changed the lives of people, and people who are spiritually dead. What he did, Zacchaeus heard that Jesus could change a life. And so what happens now is someone tells him that Jesus is coming into the city, and he has a choice to make. Is he going to be in the light, or is he going to stay in his darkness? Where are you this morning? You're trying to see who Jesus is this morning? You're just sort of in your darkness? See, the Bible says, walk while you have the light. Here's one thing I know about this little church right now. I know, this is one thing I know. With every ounce of being in me, I know that the Spirit of God is moving in this church right now. Now, you have a choice. You can come to the light like Zacchaeus, who wanted to see who Jesus was. Or you can stay in your darkness. It's up to you. He says, walk while you have the light. What is that? You come to the light. You know, for the longest time, now this is just a little personal illustration, and if you are in this situation, I'm not pointing you out or anything like this. I'm just saying this is how it was with me. I can remember a time in my life, this is probably 25 years ago, when I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, sitting in a pew with a hymn book in my hand and my mouth shut, while everybody around me sang hymns, sang songs. And you know what I told myself was the reason? Because I didn't have a good voice. And I worship better if I had a song going through my head. You know what? That's an absolute bold-faced lie. You know why I did that? Because I had somehow come to a place in my life that Jesus Christ was my Savior, but He wasn't my King. I had somehow come to a place in my life where, you know what, even though the Bible says I am to praise Him with all I am worth in my heart, mind, soul, not me. I'll just sit right here if you don't mind. I'll just hold my hymn book and I won't say anything and I'll just let everybody else just sing if they want. Which one are you in this text? Are you Zacchaeus climbing a sycamore tree to see Jesus? Are you sitting around paying attention to what everybody else is doing? Which one are you? See, we have a choice. You come to the light. You can confess your sins to God. And you can praise God because He's being praised. Or you can just sit there and think yourself righteous. Or whatever it is, whatever the reason is you give yourself. You come to the light. You can find Jesus. Oh, Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus. Do you realize, this is so interesting to me, that when Jesus healed Bartimaeus, Finally, what happens is this. Bartimaeus keeps crying out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And finally, Jesus just stops and he says, "Bring him to me." The man's blind. So people are bringing the man to Jesus. Do you know what Jesus' first question is to the man? The only question he asked to the man? What do you want me to do? I mean, Jesus, I mean, what plan are you on? I mean, the man's blind. What do you want me to do? And you know the interesting thing? There's another story where a man who is laying by the pool of Siloam, and he's been there for 38 years. Here's what they believe. They believe that when the water stirred in this pool, if you were the first one to get into the water, you would be healed. This man's been sitting there for 38 years. You know what Jesus says to him? He comes up to the man and he says, "Do you want to get well? You want to get well?" The man's been there 38 years. He's forgot why he's there. He never answers Jesus. "You want to get well? You want to get well this morning? You want to get well? You want to get well? What do you want Jesus to do for you today? What do you want? You want him not to make a difference? You want life to just go on? You just want it to be the same? Then he'll let you stay the same. But if you want to see Jesus this morning, he'll let you see him. He'll let you see him." Zacchaeus, watch this. So good. He was trying to see Jesus. Verse 3. He was unable to because of the crowd. He was small in stature. And so he ran on ahead and he climbs up a sycamore tree. He climbs up a sycamore tree. Let's see, everybody in here over age 21, when was the last time you climbed a tree? Come on, raise your hand. Last time you climbed a tree. You got one man that's climbed a tree since he's 21. I don't remember climbing a tree. Ever. I'm certain I did. Okay, yeah, I know you may have climbed one with a chainsaw, but I'm not talking about a functional purpose. I'm not talking about a functional purpose. When's the last time you climbed a tree to see a Baltimore Raven in a parade? He's got a skirt on. He's short. I'm sure, although the text doesn't say, he's about my age. He's a chief tax collector, and he's pudgy. He's climbing a sycamore tree. What would you do to see Jesus? What would you do? What is your sycamore tree this morning? You see, I promise you. Listen, there is a Satan. And I can assure you, he wants to do everything to keep you away from the Son of God who will change your life. He will put barriers up. He will distract you. Whether it's your work, whether it's your home, whether it's your finances, he will do everything in his power to keep you away from Jesus Christ. You can either let the barriers be victorious, or you can climb Jesus' hill. You can find Christ. And let me tell you a personal story here. Some of you know that I run from time to time. And I run because I'm a diabetic, and it helps my diabetes. Well, early this summer, I changed the place where I normally run. I used to run on Centennial Lane, but I don't run there anymore. I run on Route 99. And here's my path. I generally put my car at the Harbin's fruit stand right there on 99 in Bethany Lane. I park there, and I run all the way down to the post office on 99. And I run back. That's about 4 miles, almost exactly. Well, does anything in that pathway stick out in your mind? Hills. There is a hill that's almost 6/10 of a mile long. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's pretty much this like this. Well, before I decided I was going to run on 99, I had to decide whether or not I was going to claim that hill. That was a pretty hard call. But I decided that I was going to run that hill. And I've run it all summer long. Well, guess what happened? And every time I've run it, it's claimed me. It's claimed me. I've gotten halfway up. I've gotten a quarter of the way up. And I'm breathing hard. And you know what happens to a runner when you breathe hard? You breathe hard. And then you go to another level of running where you're breathing. I mean, you double clutching almost, trying to get more air. Okay, I've run it a quarter of the way up, and I've started double clutching air. I've run it half the way up, and I'm double clutching air, and I'm all but stopping. And don't think for a moment that I'm a speed demon. Okay, I'm a turtle, but I'm still double clutching on this hill. Okay, well, here, let me tell you what happened this past week. I ran the hill twice, and the second time, I claimed it. I got to the top of that hill. And I wasn't double clutching. I'd claim that hill. I decided at the start of the summer, I was going to claim that hill. And so I ran it, and I ran it, and I ran it, and I ran it. Now, what is my point? You have to come to a place in your life if you decide that you have to decide that you're going to climb a sycamore tree for Jesus if it calls for that. You're going to claim your ground for Jesus. There is nothing in your life that is going to keep you from Jesus Christ. That's what Zacchaeus did. This 55-year-old pudgy man climbs up a sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus. You want to see Jesus like that? Why do you think that Zacchaeus is the only one in the text that Jesus has lunch with? Because he's the only one in the sycamore tree. If you decide that you're going to find this Jesus, you know what will happen? He'll find you. It's so good. It's so beautiful. Zacchaeus. Look. You see, this is not what I would expect. Look, watch. Verse four. He ran on ahead. He climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. He was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came up to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. There's something wrong with that verse, because what I would expect Jesus to say is something like this. Zacchaeus, will you get out of that tree? And I'm not about to come spend time with you until you get your life cleaned up. You get out of this tax collector business. I don't need any traitors. I don't need people who sin all the time. I don't need people who steal all the time. I don't want any thieves. Zacchaeus, you get your life cleaned up and then you come see me and we'll talk some turkey. That's what I would have expected Jesus to say. Get your life cleaned up first. Because that's what we always say to him. How many times have I shared Jesus with someone? You know what they'll say to me? You know, Pastor, the only thing is, I just feel like I've got to get my life more together. I, you know, I, I just, I just, I just feel like I'm not worthy. I feel like I've got to do some things in order to even come to church. The amazing thing about grace, it's about receiving what God's already done for you. It's not about you doing anything but opening your heart to Him and coming under Him. The text says, Jesus came up to Zacchaeus and looked at him. It says he looked up. Jesus knew exactly who was in that sycamore tree. He didn't just happen along Jericho Boulevard that day. You seek Jesus Christ, you make that the call of your life this morning, and I'll promise you one thing, I will guarantee it to you, that Jesus Christ will find you. Because it says He comes to seek and to save those who are lost. I'm up in this sycamore tree, Jesus. I'm trying to find you. Jesus comes up right to where Zacchaeus is, and He looks up at Zacchaeus. He's got this big smile on His face, and He says, Zacchaeus, come on, man, let's go have some supper. Come on, Zacchaeus, let's go. Let's go have some good times together, Zacchaeus. Can you imagine the sight of Zacchaeus climbing out of that tree? I mean, him climbing up, it would have been a sight, but can you imagine him stumbling over himself to get out of the tree? Jesus wants to come sit at your table. He wants to come sit at your table. He does. He wants to sit at your table. Look how it ends. Uh-oh. There they are. It's verse 7. Uh-oh. Mm-mm. When they saw it, the church people, they began to grumble. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That preacher better get his theology right. Can you believe that Jesus is going to associate with a sinner? You like watermelon? Anybody like watermelon? I like watermelon. But you know what I found about watermelon? Okay, y'all pay attention to me, not Richard. Watermelon, you got to learn how to eat watermelon. Because what you'll do is you spend all your time picking out the seeds. You never get to the melon. You know what happens to me when I go to other churches for vacation? You know, in the summer or something. You know what I do? Let's suppose I was by myself. Where do you think I would sit? Because if my wife was with me, it'd be a little different. She's with me, and so I'd sit at a different place. But where do you think I would choose to sit? Oh, the back row. Well, why do you think I would choose to sit on the back row? Checking everything out. I'd check everything out, and then I'd start listening to that preacher. What do you think I'd be doing? I'd be checking his theology out, wouldn't I? I'd be checking how he used the Bible. I'd be checking this out, and I'd be checking that out. And you know what? We all do that, don't we? You know, see, what can happen is you can come into a sermon, a church, and so you're so interested in trying to figure out what you don't agree with, you don't get fed. Like last week, we talked about that separation of church and state. Remember that? Remember, maybe some of you thought, well, you know, his pastor kept saying that. We're supposed to teach the Bible in our public schools? Is that what he's saying? Or maybe, you know, the gays and lesbians thing, and you thought, you know, I thought people were created that way or born that way, and, you know, our society says we're not supposed to believe that. And you know, sometimes what can happen to us is we get hung up on the little things, and what happens? We miss the meat. What happens in this text is, you know, when you come in here, you ought not see the preacher. You just shouldn't see him. You should not see. You know what? Think of Glow Land a few Sundays ago. Did you not get blessed listening to Glow Land? See, sometimes what can happen is people can become dependent upon a preacher. And they can associate him with the food. It ain't not, that ain't right. When you come into a church, you come in it to feed. And you worry, yes, a little bit about picking out the seeds, but don't forget that what you're after is the food. And if you're so concerned about the little things that you don't quite get, you'll miss the bread of life. The people in this text miss the bread of life. They were murmuring because Jesus had gone to eat with a man who was a sinner. Just a moment more. Hang with me. See, between verse 7 and 8, there's a big conversation that's going on. Verse 7, the people are murmuring. Verse 8, listen to verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped. He said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." This is what we're saying. When you come to Jesus and you climb whatever sycamore tree, whatever it is, you'll overcome the barriers to find Jesus Christ. You open your heart and you humble yourself under Him. That's what Zacchaeus is doing. He is humbling himself under Jesus Christ. He's not denying his sin. He's not blaming it on anybody else, but he's confessing it. He's agreeing with God about it. And it's like Isaiah 1 we saw last week where he says, "Come now and let's reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." And Zacchaeus experiences the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and his heart is open. His heart is made new because he doesn't have any barriers open. Any barriers, he is wide open to Jesus Christ. And God changes his heart that very moment. If you're in here this morning and you need a heart change, I'm here to tell you before the Lord Jesus Christ that that's exactly what Christ came to do. He came to seek and to save the lost. That doesn't mean he excludes the church from me, but that's exactly who he's talking to. But we're no different than anybody else. Our hearts has to be open to receive what Christ does, and we admit and confess to him, "Lord, I hadn't been climbing any sycamore trees to find you. I just sort of been just, you know, going through the motions." God wants to change that in your life this morning. You have the opportunity to receive the same thing that Jesus Christ gave Zacchaeus. You have an opportunity to receive it yourself. Let's pray. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, God wants to reason with you this morning. wants to help you to see where you are with Him. Whether you want to reclaim some ground that belongs to Him, sort of like climbing that hill. There are people in here this morning that maybe you don't quite know how to climb that tree. God wants you to know this morning that He offers it to you. Your role, my role this morning is to confess our sin to Him. Say, God, have mercy to me, for I am a sinner. Say, God, I want You to enter my life and my heart. I want You to make me new. I need You to understand that a lot of times when Jesus does this, He wants changes to take place. Zacchaeus made restitution to those he had sinned. There may be people that God wants you to make restitution to. And why would He do that? Because a changed life brings Him glory and honor. It says that, yes, Jesus really does matter in my life. There are people in this room this morning, and you know that God has not been on your throne. You have been. And you also know that Jesus is the way, and He is the truth, and He is the life, and He came to give it to us abundantly. So if you come, you're saying, Father, I want to start over with You. We'll give You a fresh start in my life. Like the Apostle Paul presses into Jesus, I press on towards a mark of the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus in my life. As a church, God is calling us to press into Jesus, calling you to press in, calling me to press in. Just like Zacchaeus. God gives us the light and calls us to respond. Here's how you can respond this morning. We're going to begin singing in a moment. You make your way to the front of this church and you kneel at the front here. You say, God, I give my life to You this morning. If there's someone here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you come and just say, I want to receive Jesus. And I'll give you. We'll help you with the rest. People need to come for prayer. Come for repentance, rededication. Marriages need to be healed in Jesus' name. You give God your struggle. You give Him where you're broken this morning. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to lift up the downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of Christ in your life is to give God His way in your life this morning. You don't have to be a member of this church. It has nothing to do with whether or not Jesus claims your heart. We're here to be His instrument, to claim your heart, to gain His territory in your life. Jesus, I pray You would loose Your Holy Spirit in this place this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, we'd be like a bunch of Zacchaeuses whose lives are changed from the inside out, proclaiming the blessed year of the Lord Jesus. The precious, marvelous, holy, wonderful name of Christ, His prayer is offered. We stand now and You respond as God leads us, as our musicians sing. You've joined them.
And Lord, I've come to know cross. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you
extend the invitation just a moment more, and as God is moving in your heart, you just come. You let Jesus Christ have his way in your life this morning. We'll just extend it just a moment, so you come. Let's continue to sing just a moment.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray.
That's good. Would you be seated for just a moment? Paul, will you stand beside me? This is Paul Jenkins, and this morning he comes to publicly announce the fact that he's just been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, brother, Paul first came to us Easter pageant back in April, 2 years ago. Wow, has it been 2 years? Jeepers. Well, it's good to have him this morning saying, I have professed Jesus Christ as my Savior, and we just praise the Lord. My brother Ken Crummett, God just gave him a blessed privilege to allow him to share his faith with Paul and lead him to this place this morning. And so I'm going to ask Ken that if you would, I'll tell you what, you guys can join me at the rear door. And we can welcome Paul. In a few weeks, I'll baptize him, third Sunday in October. And that's just a praise the Lord, hallelujah. Okay. Paul, if you'd be seated just for a second. And Jack Faulkner has a word that he wants to share with us this morning.
First of all, I just want to thank God for being here. And I want to know that if you're in this church, you've been prayed for because of my brother Drew and Gary and Bob Bauer. We came in the sanctuary yesterday, and we prayed over this whole sanctuary, and it was just awesome, and we prayed for every person in here. And I just want to encourage the men, come and get a taste of what's happening here Sunday in the mornings, today's Sunday, today.
Come climb the sycamore tree in the front yard. That's all you got to do.
Right, that's right.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. I just encourage you. It's just changing my life daily, and it's awesome. It's awesome. God is so real. Give Jesus a chance. Just give him a chance. Give Jesus Christ a chance. I'm telling you, you make a halfway turn to Jesus, he's right on top of you. And that's all he wants is for us to lean on him. Lean on him. I want to tell a story real quick. Is that all right?
That's fine, Jack.
I'm going to tell a story real quick. A little boy came home from school. Okay? A little boy came home from school. He had this puzzle. Okay? Had a puzzle of the world. Came to his father. He said, Daddy, I got this puzzle. I have to have it done by tomorrow morning. He looked at it and saw it was a picture of the world. He said, I ain't got time for this. He said, son, I'm reading my newspaper. Stock broker's down. I got to find out what's going on in the world. Leave me alone. I don't have time with a puzzle. He goes to his mother. He said, Mama, look, I got this puzzle. It's a picture of the world. He said, I got to have it done tomorrow. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. She says, son, I'm preparing dinner. Don't you have to eat? You have to eat. Can't you see I'm making these potatoes? We got to eat. He didn't know what to do. Little boy went in his room. He turned the puzzle upside down. The other side of the puzzle was a picture of a man. The man was easy to get together. And when he turned it over, the world was together. It's that simple, guys. The man's easy to get together. You just got to rely on Jesus. It wants you to. The world really isn't that bad. God said he has overcome the world. Yeah, we'll have trouble and tribulation, but I've overcome it. Look, this is not me. I'm not here to satisfy Jack Faulkner. Jesus Christ is working a miracle in my life. If I could stand up here and do this, anybody can. It's amazing. It's only by the love of God. I'm crying out to you. It's the love of Jesus. Come and see what Jesus can do. Give him a chance. He's enough. He's enough for me. And I've tried it all. But I ain't never felt the joy and the peace and the contentment I have in my life right now. And it's only by the love and the blood of Jesus.
Okay. And I just want to say just this word. If you want to know something about what he's talking about, he's got a story. You just come right up here after this church service is over and you talk to Jack. Okay, he said he's tried it all. Just ask him what he's talking about. Okay, you just sit with him. Just sit with him. Let Jesus sit with you. See, that's what Zacchaeus did. Jesus and Zacchaeus sat at the table. And Zacchaeus found Jesus. See, sometimes what we need to do, we just need to stand around people who are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll get splashed on. Okay? Come get splashed on through Jack. Okay? Yeah, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, you know, there's your sycamore tree. You say, well, Pastor, I'll have to get up early to do that. Yeah, you sure will, won't you? That's right. Now, I'm not telling you guys to abandon your wives who need to help your help getting the kids to school. That's right. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. And if that's the cost, then you find your sycamore tree at another time of the day. But you find it. Okay? You find it. See, if you want to find Jesus, you'll find a way to find him. And I don't have to give you a list. Okay? We don't have to have a list. Our heart just wants to know him. And then you'll find a way. All right? Is God not good? Oh, I got one more quickly. My wife. I'm going to share about this prayer thing just really quick.
This summer, God had impressed upon me the need to pray for all of our public schools. And with your help, all of the public schools were prayed for.
72?
No, well, 71 public schools in Howard County. But then there were schools prayed for in Carroll County and in Baltimore County, a total of probably around 100.
Okay.
And so I thank you all for that. And I know so many people have told me that they were just blessed by praying over the schools. And I've also heard students and parents say that there has been a difference in the school this year that their child has gone to. And I believe that God is saying that he's made that difference. But I feel that there needs to be continued prayer for the schools where different people lift different schools in prayer every day. And so I'm going to get out a list of the schools, and if you would be willing to pray for one or two or three of the schools every day, I feel like that's where God's leading.
Okay. So basically, you would choose a school to pray for regularly. That would be your school, one or more schools that you would pray for, and you would do that every day as a part of your regular prayer time. Okay? And Debbie will get us a list out. Paul, if you and Ken would join me at the rear door, and let's pray for our schools, okay? Let's go together. Let's bow. Would you stand, and we'll close with prayer. Father, we praise you, and we honor your good name. We glorify Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you do and are doing in our lives, and we pray your blessings on us now as we go. Fill us with your Spirit. Love us, God, that we might love others in your name. In the name of Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Strength in you.
nothing Satan do. We've got a Bible of faith in you. Lift up holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring.